numbers
should
are moving.
Be working. I thought nobody will touch it then.
That's good. Exactly.
All right, good afternoon.
No, it's not working.
Good afternoon.
Oh, it's definitely working now.
Good afternoon. My name is Linda Teodosio, and as president of the First Friday Club of Greater Akron, I would like to welcome you to today's program. Before we get started, I would ask that you either turn off or silence your cell phone so that we can all enjoy the talk today. Our topic for today is the face of human trafficking. At this time, it's my pleasure to introduce Angelina Jingo, who will give our invocation. Angelina?
Let us pray in the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, thank you for allowing us to gather together in your name to listen to Sister Judy's message, share this meal, and deepen our faith. Bless the past and present members of this unique social justice advocacy platform. We ask that you watch over the most vulnerable in our society, especially women and children being trafficked here and abroad. Help us develop ways to protect and safeguard them. Let our learning today turn into advocacy. Guide our church leaders, especially Pope Francis, and all present today to follow your model. Stir us to action and out of complacency so that we can may communicate your message in our words and actions. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for getting us started so beautifully, and I forgot to mention that Angelina is a member of Holy Spirit Parish in Uniontown. At this time, it is my pleasure to introduce Sarah Stenger, who is an alumni of Walsh Jesuit High School and a member of St. Mary's Parish in Hudson, who will introduce our speaker for today. Sarah?
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for attending today's luncheon and program. We are delighted to have Sister Judy Morris here with us today, who will be presenting The Face of Human Trafficking. As I am sure many of you are aware, a state bill was recently sponsored to invoke stricter and broader penalties for human trafficking offenders. We are fortunate to have an expert on this current topic here with us today to alert us to just how prevalent this issue is in our state and country and world. Sister Judy is a promoter of justice with Dominican Sisters of Peace in Louisville, Kentucky. She formerly served as the Director of Development at the Merton Institute for Contemplative Living in Louisville, Kentucky, as a field representative of the Catholic Church Extension Society in Chicago, as Director of Social Services for Sacred Heart Southern Missions, and Director of the Office of Social Concerns for the Diocese of Owensboro, Kentucky. Sister Judy received her bachelor's in English and sociology from Siena College, her MSW from Barry University, and her master's in religious studies from Spalding University. She has served on the board of trustees for St. Catherine's College and various other organizations. She has published articles and poetry in several publications, including the National Catholic Reporter and the Catholic Digest. Please join me in giving a warm welcome to Sister Judy Morris.
Thank you very much. I first want to say what a privilege it is to be here. And to say I can think of no topic that is more critical at this time, not only around the world, but right here in the United States. So I'm lucky to have an IT person right here before me. Otherwise, it would be a very long hour. Okay. I want to begin with what I consider a very moving, very brief 12-minute DVD entitled Look Beneath the Surface. I think it succinctly captures the issue before us. Okay. Thank you.
the abuse and was horrendous. I was tortured. I never thought a human being would go through what I went through and live.
For this woman, we'll call her Sarah. The suffering began when she was kidnapped in her early teens. Forced to engage in stripping and prostitution, Sarah endured horrific physical and mental abuse.
Having gasoline poured on me, on the end of the match. Being kicked and stomped on, being drugged by my hair. Having 15 guys circle me and stomp me, and I mean really stomp me.
As traffickers moved her from city to city, town to town, fear, not shackles, kept Sarah from breaking free.
Fear of my family being harmed, fear of myself being harmed or killed, believing that my traffickers would carry out what they said they would do. Fear of no one believing me, going to the police was not an option at the time, so I thought I was brainwashed to believe that no one would help me. If anything, it would put me in more danger or even put me in jail.
Sarah's story is tragically typical for many victims of human trafficking, a modern-day form of slavery happening in the U.S., which forces tens of thousands of women, children, and men into brutal conditions for little or no pay. Many are forced into commercial sex. Others end up working in hotels and restaurants as domestic servants, on farms or in sweatshops. Esmeralda, a name we gave her, was just 11 years old when her mother in Guatemala sold her to a Guatemalan man who turned her into his sex slave. Smuggled into the United States, she endured long days of cooking, cleaning, and childcare, and nights of repeated rapes and brutality.
He told me that he paid money for me and that he can do whatever he wants with me. And that room where I used to sleep, he used to hit me, like, you know, I used to bleed and everything, because we have a carpet and the room, it was blood everywhere.
While traffickers find some victims in the U.S., often their targets, like Esmeralda, come from other parts of the world. Latin America, Africa, the former Soviet Union, and Southeast Asia.
It's important to realize that although people might have been brought here willingly, when they do arrive to the United States, they're put in positions that they had no idea they would be placed in. They're either forced into prostitution or some type of slave labor. And it's important that we look at them as victims and not as criminals.
They all do the better because, you know, kill me, they will feed you and they know that you're there. But that house, nobody knows that I was there. I was locked down and do nothing. It's like, I'm not there.
Traffickers rely on brutal tactics, emotional and physical bondage, to enslave their victims.
He told me if somebody asks you if I'm your husband, just tell them I'm your brother or something. You better not say anything. If you say something, I'm going to kill you. That was his home. He used to get a knife and put it in my neck over here, so he was going to kill me.
Traffickers use a variety of methods to keep their victims enslaved. You've seen everything from forceful or coercion, ranging from physical beatings and torture to psychological intimidation or threats to their family members back in their home country.
Human trafficking occurs across the U.S. in big cities, small towns, and rural areas. It's unlikely that victims will be found and rescued in significant numbers until the American public gains a much greater awareness of the horror of human trafficking. That's the goal of Rescue and Restore, a major public awareness effort launched by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services to identify and assist the victims of human trafficking.
Since the campaign started, numerous victims have been identified and are now eligible for benefits and services they need in order to restore their lives.
The Rescue and Restore campaign reaches out to people on the front lines, those who have the best chance of coming into contact with victims, like faith-based communities, social service providers, health workers, and law enforcement officers.
Many victims don't come forward because they're afraid, because they don't realize that what's being done to them is wrong. Traffickers can control victims in many different ways, sometimes physically, through beatings, locked doors, or lack of food and sleep, but also psychologically. Psychological trauma, or the stigma or shame from being trafficked, can be so severe that victims aren't able to face the situation, but just hope that someday it will end. Traffickers often use threats against victims or their loved ones back home, including their children. And they convince victims that if they speak with police, the victim will be arrested, detained, or perhaps deported. So identifying and then building trust with victims is critical. And this campaign is designed to reassure victims of trafficking that it is safe to come forward and to show them a future free of violence and exploitation.
By watching out for signs of human trafficking, local organizations and service providers are helping to identify and rescue victims. Given Kachepa was just 11 years old when he was brought to the United States. He was an orphan living in crushing poverty in Zambia when a U.S.-based trafficker promised him an education, free clothes, and a chance to earn money to build schools back home. All by singing in the boys' choir in churches across the U.S. But once here, Given recognized none of it was true, yet he couldn't just walk away.
Just the mind games were the biggest thing, and the threats saying that, you know, if you run away, or if you call the police, or the INS, or the U.S. government, anybody you inform, they're not going to have any interest in you. They're just going to send you back. What good do you have to them?
Members of the Colleyville Baptist Church in Texas began to suspect that something wasn't right with the Zambian choir and came to the boys' rescue. You may come into contact with victims of human trafficking and not know it. So Rescue and Restore urges you to look beneath the surface and pay attention to clues.
There are a number of clues to identify victims of human trafficking. Typically we'll look for lack of proper documentation or maybe a well-rehearsed story that has been given to them by the trafficker. We'll also look for physical signs of abuse. And you might also find in the victim intense fear and depression.
Evidence of being controlled is another important clue. Knowing what questions to ask can help uncover victims of trafficking. Questions like, are you being paid? Have you been threatened? Where do you eat and sleep? And can you leave your job if you want to?
I was not free to move in and out the factory grow at Anguish. I was forced to live in a very unclean housing and to eat ugly food.
Asking the right questions helped free Hao Trin from the unthinkable abuse she suffered as a garment worker.
They don't have food for us to eat. And in a small room with so many people inside, we have no electric fan and too hot in the daytime.
If you've met someone like Hao, Sarah, Esmeralda, or Given, who you think might be enslaved, take action. You may be the only outsider with a chance to speak to the victim. Contact the police if you suspect the victim is in imminent danger. Either way, call the National Human Trafficking Resource Center to activate local on-the-ground support for the victim. The Resource Center is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with operators who can immediately connect victims to community groups that can help. The HHS Rescue and Restore campaign has set up a safety net of organizations across the country to help identify, rescue, and provide social services to trafficking victims. It's a modern-day underground railroad to help victims on the road to freedom.
The Rescue and Restore program is designed to assist victims in rebuilding their lives. Our national network of social service providers stands ready to provide victims with necessary services in their time of need. We are doing everything we can to help victims regain their dignity and become self-sufficient. Our goal is to see victims of human trafficking become survivors.
Trafficking victims, whether they are foreign-born or U.S. citizens, are eligible for benefits and services such as shelter, food, medical care, counseling, language assistance, job training, and education.
We help these survivors with the paperwork that they need to get the benefits and services that they're entitled to. We help them get past the language barriers they're facing. We help them do job training and ultimately secure the jobs they're looking for. We're going to try to get them help with documentation, ultimately help them apply for a T visa, which will give them permission to stay in the country for a certain period of time.
The HHS Rescue and Restore Campaign provides a wide range of resources, lighting the way for organizations helping to lead victims out of the darkness of modern-day slavery. Both Esmeralda and Gibbons' road to freedom began with the help of people they barely knew. With Esmeralda, a neighbor came to her rescue. It's been a long and sometimes painful recovery process. But with the help of caseworkers and foster families, both have persevered. Today, they are adapting well to living free in America, doing well in school, enjoying the mall, singing for the joy of it. You can play a crucial role in helping the thousands of human trafficking victims. Become a partner by joining the Rescue and Restore effort. Go to this website to learn more about human trafficking and how you can work with the Rescue and Restore campaign. You can also download or order free materials in a variety of languages. And you'll find special resources for law enforcement officers, healthcare workers, and social service providers. Please, look beneath the surface for victims. If you come into contact with a victim, call the National Human Trafficking Resource Center. You can make a difference.
So what we're really reflecting on today is slavery. We call it human trafficking. In essence, it is slavery. And it is slavery that has persisted for some time. The good news is that in the last 2 years, more and more information has come forward and people are better informed on the issue of human trafficking. Okay, so let's first consider the definitions, which would be first on there. Sex trafficking and labor trafficking. Definitions being the recruitment with regard to sex trafficking, the recruitment, the harboring, the transporting of or obtaining a person for the purpose of commercial sex act. The number one word there would be coercion. And in the case of labor trafficking, again, the recruitment, the harboring, the transporting, basically for free labor. Those are the two areas of trafficking. The causes are several, which should be there. Poverty is described by the United Nations as the number one social concern worldwide, and that has been the focus of the United Nations for many years. It continues to be. That's kind of the fertile ground for where human trafficking, immigration, war, and many other social ills happen because of desperate poverty. Extreme measures sometimes are taken. So poverty. Real or perceived opportunity for a better life. If one lives, let's say, in Thailand in crushing poverty, and sees there's not enough food, there's inadequate shelter, maybe there's no shelter, no medical care, and someone comes along with an offer, I can take you to the United States and I can provide a job for you. Just come and then you can take care of your family. Your parents won't have to worry anymore, your siblings won't have to worry anymore. It's very attractive because it couldn't be any worse than it is right now. What do I have to lose? That's the seductive part of it with people being trafficked here from another country. Absence of a social safety net. In the United States, we have food stamps, we have WIC, we have Medicaid, we have subsidized school lunch programs. That's our safety net. It may be losing ground with the sequester. I think each of those areas will suffer some cuts. But most countries don't have what we have in terms of a social safety net. That's another issue. Of course, education, in most cases where human trafficking is taking place, coming to the U.S., education is the number one issue for girls and women around the world. Education equals power. Education equals security. Education equals changing from a desperate situation. I think you've all recalled the terrible incident of a young girl, I believe it was in Pakistan, where a Taliban man shot and severely injured a girl. All she was trying to do was go to school. All she wanted was an education. She's a symbol of the worldwide struggle for education many girls and women go through. So those are some of the causes. Who's the most vulnerable? Well, of course, those whose basic needs are not being met. It has to get better. I need to do something to make it better. And so even an unwise decision is perceived as a wise decision. Low socioeconomic status. Now, that's not always true. Most of those are suffering from poverty. But there are young girls who are from middle-class families who are trafficked. There are even a few from wealthy families who are trafficked. Why? Because in the home, there is severe emotional abuse, perhaps severe physical abuse. And along comes someone, perhaps very attractive, who's looking for money, and grooms her, and offers her friendship, and offers her support. And that feels a lot better than what's going on in the home. I've got to get out of this home situation. Even feeling my life is not going to get better unless I leave. So even in middle-class families, this happens, although the majority are low-income. And, of course, gender-age discrimination around the world. Sexism is alive and well around the world, and in the United States it's getting better, but it's still a struggle. Fortunately, our Congress, sometimes referred to as the Do-Nothing Congress, did pass the Violence Against Women Act. So I think we all need to pause and say thank you to them when they do something right. And the Violence Against Women Act, which began in 1994 under the Clinton administration, but it needed to get renewed every 2 or 3 years. And the stumbling block this time appeared to be protecting Native American women, protecting undocumented immigrant women, and protecting lesbian women. So there's where the conflict came. But included in that was an amendment to renew human trafficking amendment. So it was twofold good news. Okay, you want to move on to people ask, well, how does this continue? What is it that greases the wheel on this? Well, it's money. Human trafficking is the second largest business in the world. The largest business in the world is illegal drug trade. And even all these years and all the money that's thrown at the illegal drug trade, it continues. Why? Well, as long as there's demand, it's going to continue. When the demand lessens, the issue lessens. So there is great demand for human trafficking as for illegal drug trade. So demand and greed, those are the issues. Who are the traffickers? Well, number one, and we probably hear more about pimps than anyone, those are the usually men, 99% of the time men, who go out and offer the world to girls or young women who are in terrible situations. And they do what we call grooming. Give you nice presents. Maybe you're not used to being treated this well. A nice present. Take you out to dinner. Offer you the world. And then the next thing, the net comes down and you are being used as a sex slave. In some cases, a sex slave and a labor slave, or a labor slave. So pimps are number one. Restaurants and travel agencies. You'd be surprised at the statistics. Whenever you go out to eat, you don't know who's cooking your food. Maybe a labor slave. And they're finding out more and more that that's happening. Boyfriends and husbands. And the most shocking of all, parents. Unbelievable. Story, true story, Richmond, Kentucky. Two young middle school age girls were found in front of a movie theater dressed inappropriately. And they were found by the middle school teacher. Later found out their parents were selling them for sex just to make money. And they would go to the nearby Walmart and said, you want to come and see our little girls. The parents were selling their middle school age girls. They were arrested. The girls are now in foster care, thank God. Hard to believe. Really hard to believe. Well, driving human trafficking, of course, for labor services or commercial sex act is the demand and the greed of traffickers. Perhaps the trafficker has not been able to support himself in a regular job and finds out how lucrative this can be and is caught in the net. A couple of other stories I think that are worth thinking about. I've just mentioned the one from Richmond. Pensacola, Florida, not too long ago. It was a 16-year-old girl, high school student, coming from a middle-class family. They lived in a suburb of Pensacola. She came home one day and told her mother she met she has a friend that she made in high school, and the friend invited her to sleep over. Mother was uneasy and said, no, you don't know her well. I mean, why you all of a sudden want to do that? So they went back and forth, and it seemed like it was going nowhere. And finally, the mother relented and said, okay, stay overnight. So the mother dropped her off and met the girl and a man who identified himself as her father. So anyway, Shauna, use her name, indicated that the man said he had to go out and run an errand and he would be back later. So Shauna sat there and asked for a glass of water, and her alleged friend brought a glass of water. Only the water was laced with a pill that pretty much knocked her out. She was gang raped, brutally gang raped, almost killed. And she was thrown in a car and taken away. And mother, I guess, was checking on her, and there was no answer. So she came looking for her, and she was not there. Reported to the police. And the police knew areas where suspicious activity happened. They went around this shopping area where there was a convenience store and noticed her in a car, and were able to grab her and get her away. The abusers escaped. She was step-flighted to the nearby hospital. Luckily, she survived. Badly injured, had a sexually transmitted disease. She revealed to her family that her captors told her she had been sold for $300,000 to a man in Texas. Had they not found her, they maybe never would have found her. She would have been in Texas for a very large sum of money. That's Shauna's story. Another recent one, this one is in Elizabethtown, Kentucky, involved a doctor, a cardiologist, and his wife from Bolivia originally. They went to Bolivia and they found a Bolivian woman, were able to get her a visa, brought her to the United States, and she was their labor slave. She worked for this doctor and his wife for nothing for 12 years. He told her, "We've lost your visa. Don't know where it is." She did the housework. She would babysit with the children. Even went to his medical office and cleaned it. For 12 years, she just had money enough for the basics of toothpaste and shampoo, you know. Over these 12 years, I think it was less than $20,000 she gave just for the basics. So they were arrested, and I do not know what next after the arrest. I don't know what's going to happen. She would be able to file a civil suit, I know that, in addition to what's happened. Those are real stories. Multiply them by millions, okay? Real people, real tragedy. How do you identify? Well, you on the DVD it indicates some of the ways you identify unusual bruising, and you find a young girl or with a much older man, and she looks very nervous, perhaps not making eye contact. She does not speak English, and yet he is obviously from the United States. Has unusual tattoos, is not able to go out alone. So there are a number of ways to notice that there's something wrong here. Those are some of the areas. I think it's important because there's so much bad news about human trafficking, gun violence, and so forth, to recognize there are some successes. I already mentioned one. We know much more than we ever did. So the lights are being turned on. Okay? There's a very important organization called ECPAT, E-C-P-A-T. I don't know if you've heard about it. Headquartered in Brooklyn, New York. ECPAT, which stands for End Child Prostitution and Trafficking. They've created what's called a Code of Conduct. And it's a legal document that states, this is often for airlines and hotels, motels, travel organizations. And the code of conduct is to establish an ethical policy regarding commercial sexual exploitation of children, to train the personnel in the country of origin and in the travel destination so that those who work at airlines can recognize issues I've already mentioned, or signs I've already mentioned, and some others. They're trained to introduce a clause in contracts for suppliers stating a common repudiation of commercial sexual exploitation, providing information to travelers by means of catalogs, brochures, in-flight magazines, ticket stubs, home pages. Right now, Delta Airlines is the only airline that has signed a code of conduct. So, support Delta. Support Delta. If you have a choice, support Delta. Now, I will say this, for American Airlines had in their travel magazine a very well-written article on human trafficking. So America has done something. And ECPAT is working every day to get more airlines to come along. One of our sisters was traveling on Delta. It was around the date of Human Trafficking Awareness Day, which is January 11th. So the Delta stewardess came up and said, "Why are you wearing a white ribbon?" And she said, "Because it's Human Trafficking Awareness." She said, "Oh, that's great." She said, "Our airline is fully behind it." So we see firsthand that the personnel know about it and are supporting it. Also, the code provides information to local key persons at the destination. So I brought with me today several postcards. It's called Support the Code, I Am a Responsible Traveler. You can take the postcard. They're going to be set. I don't have enough for everybody. You can contact me and I can send you. But at the desk where you came in. You can take that, and if you stay in a hotel anytime soon, at the front desk, ask, has Radisson signed the code of conduct? Well, maybe, I don't know. Well, I want to give you that. I want to sign this, and I want you to share this with the manager and let him or her know that I support the code of conduct. And if your hotel isn't doing it, needs to be doing it. Okay? So those are out there. If you want to pick up one, wherever you stay, a hotel or motel, please have that. And also on here, I can, if you don't get one, I have a phone number and an email address, and you can order these. They're minimal charge. Order these for your future travels. That would be very helpful. So ECPAT. And I'd say go online, Google ECPAT, and learn more about it. And perhaps online you can order the cards. They have a very, very good web page for you to check out. Another is SOAP, Save Our Adolescents from Prostitution. Founded by Teresa Flores, who was trafficked herself. And she's one of those success stories, is I'm not going to live the rest of my life as a Greek tragedy. I'm going to turn this into something positive. And she has. She founded SOAP. What SOAP does is travel to cities where there's a major event. Usually it's a supporting event. So they went to Detroit for the big auto show. One of our sisters went. What they do, they divide up numbers and go two by two to hotels, speak to someone at the desk, maybe the manager, maybe somebody else, to say, we're really here to save lives. Put briefly, we're here to save lives. And very often they come with photos of missing children, women, children, in some cases boys. Will you post this in your hotel? Most of the time they'll say yes. 90% of the time they'll say yes. And there's material about human trafficking. I'm asking you to take time to read this material. Finally, we have these bars of soap. And on the bars of soap are the 800, you find an 800 number. And we're asking you to put those in all the rooms around the time of this event. The 800 number, and it basically says very simply, if you are in trouble, need help, call this 800 number. So this has happened. It was in Detroit with the auto show recently. It was in Louisville. We had the truck show. I participated in that, went to two hotels. Very positive response to that. They are going to be at Kentucky Derby, the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. It's not all excitement. It's tragedy as well. We had the World Equestrian Games came to Lexington, Kentucky. First time it was out of Europe. We sent material to all the hotels in the Lexington area. And a very good news story. The Super Bowl in New Orleans a couple of years ago. Same thing. They rescued two young women as a result of that. Two young women were rescued and went home. We were in Dallas. It was in New Orleans. New Orleans, the Super Bowl, the last time was in New Orleans. We had sisters there from all over. Same thing. Columbus, Ohio, the Arnold Schwarzenegger bodybuilding show. Imagine that. Same thing. Wherever, these are all good events. What we're trying to do is to prevent them from becoming tragic events. So SOAP is to be applauded. Again, go on the webpage and read about SOAP. One of the key things that have happened recently, men have become involved in this issue, and that is really vital. To say this is an issue for all of us to address and do whatever we can. There is there's a group called we skipped, okay, TAT TAT, truckers against trafficking. This is really important. If you do much traveling, do you notice where there's a truck stop, there's an adult bookstore with videos and things? Wonder why that keeps happening, wherever there's a truck stop. Imagine that. Truckers against trafficking, they exist to educate, equip, empower, mobilize members of the trucking and travel plaza industry to combat domestic sex trafficking. They give wallet cards with toll-free numbers. They provide posters and information on human trafficking in restrooms, break rooms, truck stops, and rest areas. Really important. Really important. Applaud them. MATTO, M-A-T-T-O, Men Against Trafficking of Others, holds educational forums, public events, does research to decrease the demand for human trafficking. Very, very important. End It. End It. I'm ignoring you. Okay. End It Movement. High school. He's been stalking me since I've been here.
I've warned you.
Okay. High school and college students raise the awareness of students and attempt to get them involved. How important is that? That's a recent thing. The End It Movement. High school students educating each other, saying we can do something. Okay. Hope Children Campaign. This is new, and it's going to happen right before the Kentucky Derby. Provides lip balm or chapsticks with 800 numbers to hotels, rest areas, truck stops before major events. Everybody appreciates getting lip balm, so here's that 800 number, and 90% of the time I think that will be accepted. Okay? So those are some of the good news areas. Legislative good news, I just mentioned. Violence Against Women Act passed. That's Senate Bill 47, including an amendment, the Traffic Victims Protection Reauthorization Act. That, again, we treat people as victims, not as prostitutes, where the coercion is the bottom line, where there is coercion. What can we do? Well, there are any number of things we can do. First of all, be informed. Don't stop here. Don't stop at the next workshop. Keep reading. Keep looking at documentaries, wherever you can find information. Go to ECPAT USA. Also, here's a key, a Polaris project. That is very important. Get any state or federal legislation. It will have whatever you want to know about human trafficking. Get online and check out PolarisProject.org. Act. Support state and federal legislation to reduce human trafficking. Act. I say there are three things we need to do. Pray, study, and act. Incomplete without the act. Pray, study, and act. Okay? And people, I hear all the time, oh, what can one person do? Complaining about, well, are they ever going to get gun legislation, reasonable gun legislation? I said, did you call your senator? Did you write your representative? Did you write a letter to the editor? Did you sign a petition? I can't feel sympathy for you if you haven't acted. Okay? Complain is not enough. One woman turned the civil rights movement around. Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat. Turned everything. Want to know what one woman can do? She did it. Hold forums, workshops, human trafficking in your church or your place of work. Volunteer for organizations such as HOPE. If there's something going on in Akron, how about helping them out? How about going to those hotels? Buy fair trade products. We just finished Easter and all that chocolate. Most of it was not fair trade, folks, unfortunately. Fair trade, if you want to know where you can get fair trade products, coffee, tea, chocolate, look in the organic section of the grocery. Check it out there and read. Another place called World Market usually has fair trade. In other words, what you can eat chocolate without guilt. You can drink coffee without guilt. Drink tea without guilt. Because you know people are being paid a fair wage. So check it out. Fair trade. Another thing, mark January 11th on your calendar. January 11th is Human Traffic Awareness Day. In your church, in your school, wherever you are, organize something on January 11th. Wear white ribbons, get the white ribbons made. Have a prayer service. It's a teachable moment. January, every day is important, but January 11th is a teachable moment, okay? One person can, one story, the final, click on the final thing here. One woman said she went to a convenience store and usually gets her milk there and so forth, and found they had pornography. She said, "You want me to come in here and buy milk again or buy anything again? You got to get rid of the porn magazines. I'm not coming back. And I'm inviting my friends not to come back." And she did. She called everybody she knew. They suddenly didn't have as many people. Guess what? Porn magazines are gone. Act. Okay. This is the mantra everybody should memorize. This is not only for justice promoters. It's not only for people who are involved in justice ministry. This is for every faith-based organization. It's for everybody who claims faith. Action on behalf of justice and participation in the transformation of the world fully appear to us as a constitutive dimension of the preaching of the gospel, or in other words, of the church's mission, for the redemption of the human race and its liberation from every oppressive situation. Couldn't have said it any better. This is the 1971 U.S. Bishop's Statement. Constituent dimension, in using educational language, it's not an elective, it's a required course for anybody who claims Christianity or Judaism or any other religion. We need to hold it up. Time is up. I finished. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for that presentation. I think it gives us all a lot to think about and a lot to be aware of. And, you know, I think so many times we tend to think of things like this happening in other places but not within our own community. And I think that we're very naive if we don't believe it's not going on in our own community. So it certainly gives us all something to work toward. Before we bring Sister back up for some questions, I do have a few announcements to make. First of all, there are cards on all the tables. They're white index cards. If you do have a question that you would like to have presented to Sister, please write them down on the card and raise them up, and one of our volunteers will come around to collect those. Our next First Friday Luncheon will be held on Friday, May the 10th, 2013, here at the Martin University Center, located at 105 Fir Hill in Akron. And it will feature Dr. Paul Lakeland, Professor of Catholic Studies at Fairfield University in Connecticut, whose topic will be the Vatican II Church, Lay Ministry, Lay Leadership. Please note that just like this month in May, we'll be meeting on the second Friday of the month as opposed to the first Friday of the month. There's also some more information about Dr. Lakeland in the brochures that have been laid out on your table, so please take a look at that. In addition, if you turn over the back of the brochure, there is a listing of all our upcoming programs for the balance of the year. I'd ask that you make note of those. We really, if you've enjoyed this talk and if social justice is something that's near and dear to your heart, I think you'll see that there are several other upcoming speakers that can address those issues, including Kathleen Finn in August, who's going to be speaking about the Bridges Out of Poverty movement here in Summit County. So I would suggest that you mark that on your calendar. In addition, on the tables, there is a yellow index card that you can provide us with your contact information so that we can keep you up to date as to upcoming speakers that will be speaking before the First Friday Club. You know, I've heard some people say, you know, as they're leaving or whatever, you know, gee, I really need to join that First Friday Club. You know, you don't need to be a member to attend, and it really, by the fact that you're here, makes you a member of our club. So you don't need a special invitation. We welcome everyone to return again. I hope that you'll come often. We always have wonderful speakers that really help us take a break from the busyness of our everyday lives and reflect on what our faith means and how we can live our faith in our everyday lives. Reservations for all First Friday Club events can be made by sending a check for $15 to the First Friday Club at 795 Russell Avenue in Akron, 44307. There's more information on the website at www.firstfridayclubofgreaterakron.org, and again on the brochures. We ask that you try to make your reservation by the Tuesday before the First Friday so that we can have enough space for everyone. Another thing that you'll find on our webpage is the ability to download a podcast of our speakers. So if you see one in the past that you've missed that you wish you would have heard, if you know someone that might benefit from hearing what we've shared here today, you can direct them to the website, and perhaps one of our wonderful high school students can help some of us older folks figure out how to download a podcast so that we can enjoy that. And with that, I do want to recognize the high school students that are here joining us. I know that we have students here from Our Lady of the Elms, Archbishop Hoban, and Walsh Jesuit. I don't know if the folks from St. Vincent St. Mary made it. I know they were out of school today, so I don't think they were able to join us today. But please join us in recognizing our students that are here. So with that being said, I think we'll call Sister back up for a few questions.
We have some easy ones to start out with.
Oh, thank God.
This is really simple. Would it be acceptable to take the DVD from your presentation and show it at various parishes or organizations? So I'm sure the folks want to know where they could get it.
Perfectly fine. If you want to come up and write down the information, that would be fine. I'm even willing to leave it here and you could mail it back to me. So, whichever works.
Do many of the advocacy groups that you talked about sponsor local chapters? If so, do you know which ones or how we would go about doing that?
Are you referring to local chapters of SOAP?
And, yeah, any of those.
Any of those.
Any of those groups.
I'm trying to think. I know Teresa Flores really heads it. It would probably be best to go online and find out contact information. So I'm not sure if there's one in Akron. There may be. But it's very active in Ohio, Columbus, and where else? Dayton, I think. So check out online and find out contact information. ECPAT, I think, is basically just in Brooklyn, New York. But they provide materials and support. So I don't think there's any local chapter of ECPAT anywhere.
What would you suggest to a student who is pursuing a career in social justice?
Get as much sleep as you can. Anybody pursuing in social justice, I'd say please go for it. But realize you're entering a field where you don't experience a lot of success. And you learn to look for the small successes in life. I'm in a state that still has the death penalty. But we've made it impossible to execute mentally challenged people. We supported a racial justice bill that looked at prejudice in sentencing. So that's number one. There's some discouraging days. But, there are a lot of social work schools out there, not a lot that focus on social justice. But check out Notre Dame University because I think they have a very good peace studies program. So if I had to name one, it would be that one.
I think you've kind of touched on this with the Attorney General, and I know in Ohio our Attorney General is doing something, but it says how and what is being done as far as finding and prosecuting abusers of human trafficking victims.
Laws in various states have been strengthened, and recently, I'll just give Kentucky as an example. Just recently, passed a bill to strengthen penalties of those who are caught in human trafficking. Also fines, stronger fines that would be used for victims, that victims could receive money for their own, however they needed it, counseling or whatever. So the fines are steeper, the penalties in terms of prison time, they're steeper, and there's concerted effort to consider victims as victims, not as prostitutes. And that's been a hard one to get, but more and more we're using the term victim, survivor, and not prostitute. Coercion is the area that makes is the convincing piece. There is coercion, there is not freedom. So those are just a couple of things, and we don't stop here. I think we need to strengthen the laws even more. Keep ratcheting it up.
In reference to the film and the choir, what were the suspicious behaviors or signs that were observed by the folks as far as the choir?
Well, I think there were a couple of areas. I don't know the whole story, you know. But his emotional well-being, he exhibited sometimes fear, sometimes unexplainable sadness. And his answers to questions were kind of elusive. It could not be specific on a number of questions he was asked. Is that him?
Okay. Please join me again in thanking Sister Judy for her presentation. I just wanted to mention, in response to one of the questions that was asked, that there was recently a symposium held here in Summit County about human trafficking as part of Child Abuse Awareness Month. And one of the things that arose out of that symposium was the desire here in Summit County to develop a task force that would really deal with the issue of human trafficking here in our own community. It is my understanding that Terry Heckman from the Battered Women's Shelter and Leanne Bram from Victim Assistance are going to be spearheading those efforts. So if this is something that you're interested in, that you feel that you want to make a difference, and I would really make sure to keep an eye on the Victim Assistance and the Battered Women's Shelter website. If we get information, perhaps we can put it up on the First Friday Club webpage so that you'll be aware of that. But I think it's encouraging to know that our community has taken a strong stance in that. Unfortunately, I can assure you that this is a problem within our community, and it is something that we need to be active in addressing and sensitive in addressing, because many times victims are reluctant to let us know about what's going on, as Sisler certainly mentioned. And I think if we can work together as a team, as we know here in Summit County, we can really accomplish a lot. So hopefully we'll have more information on that as time goes on. Before I bring up someone for our closing prayer, I think on behalf of all of us that are members of the board or attend these First Friday Club luncheons on a regular basis, we can't ignore the tragedy that befell a family of Archbishop Hoban High School, who has been such a strong supporter. And I know that our thoughts and prayers are certainly with them as they struggle with healing from that tragedy. And I think it's a tragedy for all of us in our community that we all struggle with and need to pray about, and pray for that family as they heal. So for the entire Archbishop Hoban family, know that you are in our thoughts and prayers as you face the days ahead. With that, I'm going to bring forward one of your alumni and one of my good friends and one of my favorite mothers-to-be, Kelly Crawford Smith, who is a member of St. Matthew's Parish, who is going to lead us in closing prayer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Lord God, thank you for the opportunity to bear witness to the words of Sister Judy Morris as the faces of those who have been victimized through human trafficking have become visible to us. As we move forward, Let us not forget what they look like or who they are. Let us not forget how fast and far spread the human trafficking epidemic has become. Give us the strength to do our part to safeguard these individuals. And when that is not possible, give us the commitment to act as trusted confidants, law enforcement informants, and most importantly, loving and compassionate brothers and sisters. Give courage to the most vulnerable so that they too may unmask the face of human traffickers. The wisdom to not only recognize, but to turn away from those that will victimize them. Please continue to empower us to serve in our respective capacities as we work to carry out your will for each of us. Let us continue to come together to learn as leaders, teachers, and thinkers. And let us continue to grow and strengthen our Catholic faith. All of this we ask in your name. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Don't forget about the postcards at the rear table, and thank you so much for your attendance. Hope to see you next month. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.